never bored. Oh, I was never born. Never born. Well? Why are you saying this to me? I was, a what? Yeah. I don't know. No baloney. Oh, I do not belong. Well, I, you know, that's a matter of opinion. Whoa. I must have had a nightmare. Nightmares are weird. It did give me an idea for a poem, though. You know, about what if you were never born? You know, what is your identity? Who are you? Are you just your memories? Are you who other people say you are? The name that you're known by? I mean, what if that disappears? And what if your memories are all based on how other people see you? What other people tell you about yourself? Maybe I don't know who I am. I'm pretty sure I was born, but I don't have any memory of it. So how would that poem go? So, you were never born. Something, corn. Corn? Something to do with corn? No, that's stupid. You were never born. You're just here all of a sudden, and people calling you by a certain name. That's not much of a poem. You woke up this morning and you were different, like Gregor Samsa, and everybody now is treating you like a bug. Now that's definitely not much of a poem. Gotta think about it.
Are you ready to go, Papa?
Ready to go? What?
We should leave now since my lesson is in 20 minutes.
I'm not sure I understand.
I need a ride to my lesson.
Okay, I guess I could do that.
You said it was okay.
I did?
You're being weird, Papa.
Papa? Why are you calling me Papa?
You don't like it anymore? I thought you didn't like it when I called you Dad.
Dad? I think you might have me confused with somebody else.
Yes, you're really a lookalike.
Maybe.
Anyway, quit kidding around and let's go because I want to stop and grab a sandwich on the way.
Now, wait a sec. Because I don't know you, I'm a little hesitant to give you a ride. I would and everything. Do I know your parents?
You're freaking me out a little. It's not funny to joke about having dementia if that's what you're doing.
I'm not. I swear.
You honestly don't know who I am.
I swear.
What's your name?
Hardy White.
It's not. It's Dave Morris.
No, I'm definitely Hardy White. It's on my mail when I get mail. And it's on my email address, and I have a radio show. Lots of people know me. I'm Hardy White.
You used to have a radio show in college. I'm getting scared. Stop kidding right now.
Okay, don't get upset.
Just driving to my dance lesson. You're being weird.
All right, I'm sorry.
There is no Hearty White. There's never been a Hearty White. It's a made-up name. It's a type of bread. It was made up to serve a purpose, and now there's been a change in plan, so there's no more Hearty White. But since there never was one, nothing's really disappearing. One way to beat death is to have never been born, so in a way you're quite lucky. Also, we'll need your memories back since they aren't really yours, and if this is upsetting anyway, I do understand, but please try to see it from another point of view. When you were created, that prevented someone else from being created. You start over as someone else if you like. But then again, we will still need your memories back. Fresh start though, exciting. So while we're transitioning, I'll be Hearty White just for a bit to clear things up. And you'll go over to the waiting room until we're done. You know the waiting room in Tatty's Playtime? Very much like that. Has a similar feel. Somewhere between that and the Beckett story, Ping.
Wait. I don't understand any of this, I don't think. Hello? Hello? Empty white room. All right. That's interesting. Waiting room or something? Maybe I'm waiting.
Hardy, can you hear me?
Butchie? Butchie, is that you, man?
I'm here. Is he there?
Lou, I hear you.
You're there.
Lou?
I want to be, friend. Your voice in the wilderness.
Somebody's playing my first
calling
show.
Out to you.
That's my show.
Sitting there in your car or your home or your chair. I want to thank you for letting me into your car, your home or your chair or your head.
Somebody's got the radio on really loud.
Be that voice calling out.
How about that?
In the wilderness. And what is that voice calling out in the wilderness? It's calling out, Oh, help me. Help me, I'm out here with my grandson and I'm lost. Oh. I came out here looking for a deer, a butterfly, or what?
Here comes for us all.
What? Hello?
Memento mori.
Death comes for us all. Memento mori.
There is no Hearty White.
Why do you keep saying
there
that?
There's never been a Hearty White.
No, I'm me.
There is no Hearty White.
There is, I'm me.
There's never been a Hearty White. There is no
Stop
Hearty White.
Stop saying that.
There has never been.
Hello? Oh. Man, I must be asleep. It feels very real. Oh, it's frightening now. I know I'm me. I don't think I could prove it, really, but I'm pretty sure I'm me. Huh.
Where are you?
I'm right here.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was just working on a poem, I think.
Just one poem?
Just the one poem, yeah.
About what?
Well, about like identity, about losing your memories or identity. I don't know.
Well, wait till I tell you something that happened to my friend Mary. This is terrible. Okay. She was on Alumni Drive.
Uh-huh.
And she was going to turn into Old Mount Tabor.
Okay.
And there was a lot of traffic, but the cars had stopped, so she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she went, and this silly lady was in a big SUV, and she was actually on the shoulder of the road.
Okay.
And she hit her broadside, and she is all bruised up. And this lady thinks she was in the right of way because she thought it was a lane.
Oh, man.
And of course, the policeman said to her, no, man.
Right.
That was not a lane.
It was just
the
side of the road.
I mean, she has so many bruises.
I'm so sorry.
And then my cleaning lady came today, and I was relating that story, and she said to me, well, you know, when I left your house last time, she said, I was on Old Mount Tabor and into Tate's Creek Road, and some lady jammed into the back of me.
Oh,
just
geez.
Pushed it in the back of me, and she said, I get out of the car.
Uh-huh.
And I went over to her, and this lady wouldn't even roll the window down.
What?
She she said, I kept tapping on it.
Oh, that's nuts.
She said, finally, the lady went around me and just took off.
What?
I mean, there are terrible drivers out there right now.
Well, that's crazy. That's super illegal, too. Yeah. Hello? Where'd you go? Oh. I literally don't know when I'm awake and when I'm asleep or something.
You're trapped between worlds!
Butchie? Butchie, is that you?
Don't panic, we're gonna get you out!
Lou!
Thank you. Thanks. Thank y'all.
Oh.
You're so beautiful.
I know this memory.
Thank you.
It's the end of my live show.
Thanks for coming. I love it. Appreciate it so much.
That's one of my favorite memories.
You really are. Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
I couldn't live without that one. I couldn't live without that memory. All those people came to see me. Hello? No idea where I am. And now I'm beginning to doubt who I am. What if those things didn't really happen? What if they're not real? What if it's all made up? What if I'm living in some kind of story? What if I'm some kind of fictional character? I don't know if I could take that. My memories are like the house that I live in. Or they're like the furniture or something. But what if there's no house? What if my soul is homeless? What if I have nothing? What if I have no possessions? I mean, like, thoughts or memories. Then who am I? What am I? There's got to be something more. There's got to be something more to it. I'm the name I call myself, right? I'm the name that others call me. That's me. I don't answer to anything else. People don't say, hey, Jimmy Hoosie Watts. I know that's not a name, but I mean, I wonder why there isn't a surname Hoosie Watts. You'd think there would be. My grandfather used to say it like it was a name, right? My uncle used to say Hovey Stover was the last name he used to make up. I don't know if that's a last name. He said Mr. Hovey Stover lived in his closet. I don't think he did. I don't think there was anybody in that closet. I wonder if Mr. Hovey Stover knew that. You'd never want him to know, would you? Would you want somebody who doesn't really exist to know they don't exist? How would they take it?
So basically, he's gone to a world in which he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Well, that could be traumatic.
This is what happens when you don't get regular tune-ups on your time machine.
Can he hear us?
I have no idea.
Hardy, you're trapped between worlds. We're coming to get you.
Man, the controls are jammed. Time rust.
So, he's in a world where he doesn't exist?
I think so. Or a place where he has different memories or a different identity, so the people around him might be treating him like he's somebody else, calling him by a different name, referring to things they think he remembers, but which he's never done.
Oh, that sounds nightmarish.
Yeah, but he's pretty used to this. Hopefully, he won't go stark raving mad and tear his eyes out.
Just get it fixed, Butch.
I'm trying, but like all possible worlds, you gotta sort of navigate it by yourself. Find something to latch onto, some island. Hopefully, he'll find something he can hold on to until we can bring him back.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad to be with you. I want to be your voice in the wilderness. Calling out in the wilderness. Unless that scares the dickens out of you. That could be. You're in the wilderness. You think you're alone. And you hear me going, well, hello. And you startle so much. You might mess your pants or something like that. I don't want to do that to you. If you think you're alone in the wilderness, then you are. But if you want company or something, you know, I've been in the woods and heard, you know, I'm so lonely here in the woods. And then you hear, maybe I wasn't lonely. It depends. You know, maybe you don't need a voice in the wilderness. I remember when I was a child, I was walking through the woods with my sister Gretel. And we were walking in there and we were thinking, we don't want to get lost, you know. And I said that. I said, you know, Gretel, we don't want to get lost. And she said, don't worry, we'll follow the blaze. And I go, the trail is blaze. She goes, yes, I came in earlier and I nailed suet on a bunch of trees so that we could find our way out again and just follow the suet blaze. Oh, my goodness. Is that a good idea? I don't know. So we walked for a while. We said, well, we're trusting that, so let's go deep into the woods. Because we know we can get out. And then we were in there, and she was talking, and I said, hey, let's have some quiet time for a while. So we were walking in silence, and then we heard, children, like that. Oh, hello, old crone. I hate to say that, but that's how she self-identified. So I, you know, who am I to contradict her? And she said, look, I live in a gingerbread house, and I am cooking children, and I've run out of children. Could I borrow some children? And I said, well, we're children. She goes, I'd love to cook you into gingerbread cookies. I said, well, I don't know that can be done, but we'd willing to give it a shot. So we followed her to her house, and she was telling us all about her. It was beautiful. Some old people have wonderful stories about how she was an editor on The Joy of Cooking Children and everything like that. I said, did they still have that chapter about how to cook baby squirrels? And she says, yes, you know, I know that's all dated, but they wanted to keep that in there. We got to her house, and I guess we were killed and eaten. I don't remember after that, because it's not a real memory. Oh, our memories, we think they're so solid and sound. We construct our entire world upon them as if they're tiny Lego pieces. And we make a Lego. I bought a house one time and I said, what kind of foundation does it have? Is it cinder block? Is it, a slab, concrete slab? And they said, no, Lego. And I said, actual Lego pieces, plastic? And they said, yes, a child built the foundation of this house. And then we built, and I thought, well, that's not going to, I don't think that'll hold. And they said, well, you know, no, that's why we're letting it go. That's why we've cut the price a little bit. So, do you want it or not? As is. Oh, I don't know. I mean, if I had a child, I'd name it As Is. Say, you know, please expect nothing of this. You can't, you know, say anything bad because I said As Is. So that negates all responsibility. All right. Can't complain. I'm not complaining. As is. Memories aren't, though, what you think they are. They are a Lego foundation. You know, we even have now phenomenon, you've heard this, the Mandela effect, where people think, oh, I remember this fact, but now it turns out that fact is wrong. Therefore, it's not my memory that's wrong. My memory is the most solid thing in the universe. It must be that the entire world has shifted, and now we're living in an alternate reality. That's how arrogant we are as human beings about our memories. It can't be our memories. My memory is solid. I am my memory. It is my existence. It is my soul. Therefore, the entire world has changed. Everything outside must have changed. It can't be me. These must be individuals who have never been with anybody who has Alzheimer's. I swear, because I have been with many people who are at the end of their life or have dementia or something, and I'm telling you, your memories are fragile. They disappear. Your identity changes. You think you're somebody different, or you think you remember something you don't. Oh, my goodness. And well, maybe there's some kind of soul memory, and that's only the brain, and it's gone to a cloud. We have a cloud memory, and our memories go somewhere else, and we can retrieve them later, and it's only the brain that breaks down. Okay, that sounds, I'd have never seen any evidence for that, but anything you want. But from what we know right now, yes, if you get a stake in your head, this used to happen all the time. People would be working on the railroads, and they go, oh, I've got an iron stake up through my brain. And now there's some things I forget, all right? And say, well, but maybe not, or I don't know how that works. But I know from my experience that memories are fragile. And that people do change, and their identity can change and everything based on what's in their head. And then even those memories might be wrong, oh, because our senses are limited. I'm looking at something. I think I saw it out of the corner of my eye. The things you remember as a kid. Oh, yes, I remember when the spirit of Captain Kangaroo came to me one night. He walked into my room, Captain Kangaroo, and he said, I'm going to drop some ping pong balls on you. But they weren't ping pong balls. They were a type of marshmallows, and I ate them until I felt sick. And then I threw up, and my mother put a bucket by my bed, and I looked up at the ceiling, and it was all laughing clowns going, you know, you might have had the flu, or it could have really happened. We don't know. Don't try to ever talk somebody out of their memory because they are so sure. Oh, that is the rock and foundation upon which everything we know has been built. And we tell those stories to ourselves over and over again. And we incorporate the stories which our parents tell us. Oh, I remember the time that you stole all my jewelry and buried it because you said you were a pirate. Did I? Yes. And then there's always that. I met an elderly relative one time. And she said, I got a half-brother named Hale White. I don't ever see him or anything. But we're seeing a mutual great aunt. And she goes, I remember when you were babies. And she looked at me and she goes, you were an ugly baby. And she looked at him and said, you were a pretty baby. Now, I know that to be the reverse. I've seen baby pictures. And I might not be a handsome man now. But I was what a beautiful baby I was. And he was not, all right? I'm not putting him down or anything. I'm just, Hale's face was all funky and everything. So she's got it flipped. But here she is now saying it like it's a fact and telling us. And he's all puffed up because I knew I was a prettier baby. You're not, though. That's just, Aunt Brenda doesn't know. Look at her. She's all drunken and everything. And see, I've remembered that and thinking, how many times am I doing that? Am I telling other people? Here's something I remember that happened. Did you ever have an argument or conversation with somebody and you're in this heated argument and you're saying, but you just said, and you start talking about something that happened like 90 seconds ago and you can't agree on what was said. Isn't that, don't you find that a little bit strange and amazing? You say, well, Hardy, you're saying we're going through the world not knowing anything. I've been fine with it so far. I guess I don't have to know as much as everybody else. I don't mind that. I like looking for answers. But, you know, I don't know really what I'm finding. The whole experience to me so far, if you were going to sum it up, if they had every once in a while they came to you, the Lord comes to you and says, all right, just checking in. How would you rate it so far? And I would say, well, you know, scary and disorienting at times, beautiful, wonderful. I don't know. You know, this whole not knowing what's going to happen next is both very interesting. It's a neat gimmick, but it's also scary, you know, because I imagine what's going to happen. Yeah, put the imagination in there so you could navigate the world. Yeah, navigate it, but I can't. It's just like a funhouse. I have enough navigational skills to look down at the carpet and say, okay, this is the way you go. But every once in a while, I run into a mirror. Boof. And I smush my nose up against the glass, and I imagine that there's somebody on the other side, a sadistic, cruel carny, laughing at. I'm not saying carnies are sadistic and cruel. This one is. The observer of the funhouse. He's in there, and he's laughing at you every time your nose presses up against that glass. You made a wrong turn. Yes, I have made a wrong turn. I can't see how I would not have. You have advertised it as a house where you make wrong turns. I understand that. And so I try to be patient with others and imagine that they are making wrong turns, that their memories aren't necessarily serving them, that they are thinking things that aren't correct. I see that on a lot of times online now. We see too much of people. It's like almost like there's a camera in everybody's house and you've got to see all the nasty things they do in private. And I feel like that way with their thoughts. I go, normally I wouldn't hear you thinking this. Now I can see what's in your brain, and it's upsetting. It's like when they say, you don't want to see laws or sausage or anything made, really, is what they say. Also, you don't want to see thoughts being thought because it's just a bunch of pink, tissue. Not tissues like you blow your nose. Anybody blow their nose on brains? You ever done that? Once in your life, I'd like that. Could I have a human brain just to blow my nose on so I can make a pun? Yes, that's brain tissue. What would we do without tissue? First of all, there wouldn't be parade floats. I had a buddy that had a job. You know how all those tissues are stuck to the parade floats? You go, how do they do that? It's my friend. He's got bad sinuses, as my mother would say. And he blows his nose into it, and he sticks the tissue on. They give him different color tissues. And when he's done, it's a beautiful spring scene. And you go, look at that. Or if it's a homecoming parade, that looks like a goalpost. It is. It's just snotty yellow tissues, though, that my friend put up there. Oh, float, parade floats. Nothing lifts the heart and drops it back down faster. It's a strange thing. It's just a truck bed. But we doll it all up, and we call it a parade float. And then, you know, we slow the traffic down, and now it's a parade. But it's still just traffic with used Kleenex on it. That's how I see it. But it can be both and be beautiful. Why can't it be both? Why can't you be both a spectacular, amazing being and this weird, gooey, faulty memory machine? Why can't it be both? I don't understand. Why does it have to be all idealized? Why can't things be messy? I like messy. I like people with messy houses. Not too messy. Like, oh my goodness, there's a pork chop under the Lazy Boy. Not that bad. I had a roommate to put all food under his bed like that. It was kind of interesting. I mean, it stopped smelling eventually. And then neat things happened to the food. But, you know, that's a little messy. But I like clutter. I like people have books everywhere. You know, I had a friend who was a reporter, and I went to his house one time, and you couldn't see his carpet. It was just, he had the floor was done with press releases. You know, and they were everywhere, newspapers and things like that. He's just rolling around in paper. It was kind of wonderful. It's kind of how you imagine reporters live, you know, just stuffed into their jacket and everything. But, you know, messy is good. Neat can be good, too. I like clean. You know, if I was going to a Zen Buddhist temple or something, I go, well, why is there dirty forks around here? I'm sorry, we're not very good at this. You know, sometimes you want order and everything to make you feel
as if the world is controllable, right? I don't mind having that feeling. And not everything has to be super realistic to me. I like fantasy. I like deluding myself, but I'd like to eventually be able to peek out of the fun house, right? And say, all right, it's just a fun house. I don't have to be completely immersed. You know, see, it's the thing when you go to a fantasy movie with somebody and they're watching it and the spaceship takes off and the people are flying in space and then one of them, their head turns into a pumpkin and then they do something else. The princess from the future of plastic ceramics comes and she goes, whoa, 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 I'm a giraffe. And then something happens and your buddy goes, oh, right. Like that. You know, after all that, there's something that just doesn't ring true. And, you know, I just think it all rings true and doesn't to me. I don't, it doesn't bother me. There's incongruencies. I'm not saying it should for you, my friend. I know that life throws you all sorts of things. Well, I don't even know what it's throwing at me. I just got hit by something. I feel like I'll hurt. What did they do? All I know is that they hit me with something. Now I got to have stitches and can't play the horn for a while. Yes. Imagine that. I had a job as a clown one time. Not the kind of clown that people like. People like clowns? Well, I mean, they do a little bit. They get employed, don't they? I know that people think they're scary and everything like that. And painting your face obscures your identity and everything like that. But they must like them a bit because people keep using them for things. And there is some degree of happiness that can be provided and silliness by a clown. But it is a humiliating act on some level. And I was an advertising clown, a business. I'm not going to promote the business by telling you what it was. But they said, dress up in this clown costume and go on the corner of these two busy streets at night and hold a sign and wave to people. And that will make them want to come to our business. It doesn't, by the way. But what it does do is it encourages certain people to throw things at you. And so I was pretty good at dodging those things. I never really got hit. But people throw all sorts of things at you. The worst are full cans of soda or beer. They can hurt, you know. And when they came, the silliest was those plastic McDonald's salt and pepper shakers, which even if they did hit me, it's like, why would you just save it? You can have these cool things. If you bothered to steal it, why throw it at me? But at the end of the evening at my feet, I would have all these things where people tried to hurt me. Sometimes people would pull up, feel sorry for me, and say, hey, you know, they're hiring at the cafeteria. That's cool. I'm all right. What? I'd leave show business? I did think of it that way. I thought, well, I'm entertaining people, even though I'm not. I feel this way with a radio show. I don't know if I am or not. That's why radio is wonderful. I don't have to see you not being entertained. That has happened to me on stage. I've stood up there and I'm entertaining and I'm making an effort. And I look down and somebody is not being entertained and I feel, oh, I'm failing. This way I don't know I'm failing. And you say, well, you're deluding yourself. I go, well, I have to delude myself to go on. There's so many things I have to do to fool myself to keep going. It's okay. You know, if it harms you, I guess that's not okay. But I am fooling myself, and I like knowing I am is the other important component for me. Because if I didn't know I was, I might not be able to understand other people. By not knowing that I may not be who I think I am, then I would discount your struggle. You're probably struggling too, aren't you? Who am I? Who am I supposed to be? Well, so much of it is, not in your control. I think of people born into certain families. There's nothing you can do when you're a baby. You're born to a certain family. Your baby, open your eyes. You look around and you go, oh, good Lord. These people. What am I going to do? How am I going to survive this? I got to do what they say. At least for the first 18 years of my life or so, I've got to honor and obey these people. I got to live in their nasty shack or something, or I got to live in their ostentatious mansion with their twisted values, and it's going to rub off, and my memories are going to be fixed, and all those things are going to be set in me. Who am I? Was I always destined to be this person? What if I was born in a different situation, had different memories? How much of me is me?
I know that, it's like the prince and the pauper. Now, I've mentioned this story many times. The prince and the pauper changed. There was a pauper. What did he do? Popped. I guess he popped a lot. That's why they called him that. His pop was a pauper also. Second generation pauper. And in some countries, your surname would be Pauperson because of that. So he was poor, and his father was mean, because all mean people are poor. I'm saying that sarcastically. And then the prince was, you know, from nobility and all their kind and inbred and have funny ears. And so they switched places because they were doppelgangers. Is this like Twin Peaks? No, this is way before that. They had that. So they switched places. And then the prince was like, you know, you cannot beat me. I'm the prince. And the abusive, impoverished dad would go, shut up, like that. And then the pauper was going, man, this is great. I'm not going back. The way I heard the story, there was a third kid. And they would all rotate. And his name was Monty. That's where they get the old three-card Monty thing. Say, oh, you don't know where three-card Monty is going to end up. Someday he may be a pauper. Someday he may be a prince. You know, who is he? Who are we? Who are you, Hardy White? Who am I? I don't know. I might be a made-up fictional character. I might have been made up from somebody who needed some sort of alter ego because they were not comfortable being themselves because they couldn't confront the world as themselves and they needed to make a mask. Maybe I am that mask. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that I wasn't born, I don't have any kind of history, that I'm not a real person, that I don't have a family and parentage, that I'm simply a mask that some weak person is wearing as a way of communicating with the world, as a way of connecting with others because of a deep desire to reach other souls and to understand that maybe this whole thing of lack of identity, the whole memories, the weakness of memories, the impermanence of memories, maybe some way this person understands that there's a wholeness in our collective experience, that maybe we're all sort of one thing and we're separate and off experiencing the world separately, but it can be experienced as one great thing. That's the only way that you'd get all the information and understand who and what and where you really are. I feel connected to other creatures. I can't see how they're different. How man is superior. Superior to what? To elephants? To whales? To monkeys? To sea turtles? They're all so extraordinary and they're all so alive. And look at their eyes. Look at their eyes. Tell me that thing is not thinking and feeling. Maybe it's thinking and feeling a little differently than you are, but it has the same basic urges. You know, all the things we think in dogs that are love might be dependence and hunger, and your characteristics might be reduced accordingly. But look at all the things that are alive, even bacteria swimming around there looking for something to do or something. I don't know what the bacteria goes, I'm bored again. Well, let's get into a liver and destroy it or something like that. I don't know what bacteria thinks. It probably doesn't think. I don't know what a sea star thinks. It doesn't have a central nervous system. But, you know, it's kind of immortal. Here we are, born to be kings. We're the sea stars of the universe. You can't cut off my head because I don't have a head. I only have arms and I stick to the side of a pier. I have no peers. Oh my goodness. The Sea Star Highlander, do you remember that one? That was great. Had a little sword in each hand. Maybe a little sword fish in each hand. Stop it. Stop it. I'm going to hook up and have a meeting with your dad and just do like seafood puns for a while. Do you want to do that? No, I'd rather die. You wouldn't rather die. Like I said, I've been around people that losing their memory and stuff like that many times. My grandmother was. She had a lot of strokes because of her lifelong love affair with cigarettes. They eventually You know, she had high blood pressure and she smoked and drank. And eventually she just started having a lot of strokes and everything. It was like a hobby. It was like a new hobby. I want to see, cuts off some blood flow to my brain. And it was very, very difficult for everybody. And especially when she'd get scared or something, you know, she'd call me. She was in this one of them houses for old folks. It was kind of a transition, so it's like a little apartment building. It's actually very confusing for older folks because you bring their furniture there, and, you know, they have nurses that come around and see you. And so you think you're in your house, but then people are knocking on your door and taking your temperature and everything. So I think for people whose memories are not sound and who don't really know what's going on anymore, that alone is very confusing and strange. Imagine. So she'd call me on the phone and she'd say, "Hardy, you got to come get me." What is it, Grandma? You all right? "No, I rode my bicycle down A1A. Now I'm at a bar. I don't know where I am." You know, you've had nightmares like that. Could you imagine if you were awake and having them? "I don't know where I am, and I think I'm in some kind of strange hotel. I have my hotel dreams all the time. I can't imagine if they were real. So I don't know what room I'm in. I don't know. Is this a hotel? Is this my house?" That's what it feels like to start losing your memory, losing your sense of identity, losing a little touch with so-called reality. It's real. It's real. The world hasn't shifted. We aren't living in another dimension. You are impermanent. You are imperfect. You are seeing only shadows. You are walking in a dream. This world will never be completely accessible to you. You're never going to know what's going on. You're never going to really know who you are. I encourage you to seek truth all the time through science, self-examination, whatever you want to do, go for it. Look out there. Try to figure things out. Will you ever figure them out? No. Just know you're doing it for entertainment purposes. Yes, oh, pain is real. All these emotions are real. You're really going to feel it. Loneliness is real. Fear is real. Physical pain is real. Yes. Yes, it hurts. Do you know why it's all hurting? I bet you don't. I bet you don't, because so much of it's self-inflicted. Not the physical pain, necessarily. Sometimes it is. Most of the time, no. But we don't even know where it's coming from a lot. Oh, hold my hand. We're in the woods. What kind of woods are these? I don't know. Maybe it's like Land of the Lost. It's not really woods at all. Every time that people went to a desert island or an old-timey cave or something in old TV shows, they always met some sort of old-timer who was still there, who was thought the war was still on. I'm still fighting the war. Maybe they were lost in time. Maybe the war was just over a few decades, you know? So this happened on every TV show I ever saw. On Gilligan's Island, it was some Japanese soldier who thought the war was still on. On Land of the Lost, it was some kind of old-timer who thought it was still the 1840s or something like that. He was a minor 49er, and his daughter Clementine was just skeletonized remains. "Why don't you eat, Clementine?" "Oh, she's been gone a long time. Why are you still here? This must not be the real universe." But there's always that idea that somebody doesn't really know where they are. They don't know the reality of the outside world anymore. And you look at them and you say, well, they're still mentally sound. They've just been cut off from the world. That must be it. Or maybe they've lost their minds. Or maybe you've lost your minds. How do I know I am not mad? I ask myself that all the time. How do I know I'm not crazy? Well, I don't. You know, sometimes I look at other people, I say, well, I'm not exactly like them. Maybe it is I who am crazy. Maybe it is I. When I start being creative or I make something, do you ever make a piece of art? People go, what is that nutty thing? They ask you. They don't want to figure it out first. You write a poem, it might be a little bit impenetrable. What is going on? Tell me. Well, just look, what do you think? No, you tell me. Well, I don't know. Is this so beyond your experience that you can't really figure out what's going on? Are there parts of your soul that you have not looked at? Is there parts of your mind that you have not explored? Do you even know what's in your head and who put it there? I know that there's things in my head that were put there on purpose by people who wanted me to do things. Not just advertising agents. Oh, it's advertising is a big one. I watched a lot of television and confused it with my own reality. But I've gone to a lot of sermons and had people tell me things that they want me to believe. I've heard politicians tell me their worldview, people on the radio having opinions, telling me what I should believe, how things are. Now, if I let them in, then I have created my memories based on their perception, their eyes, which may be dim, their ears, which may be vague. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they don't have a good sense of smell. No, this doesn't stink. Oh, man. Where's your sense of smell? Because it smells. There's this phenomenon that happens when people have, let's say they live next to a factory. And the factory starts putting out a smell, starts smelling like butt, like ripe summer butt. And you go, oh, man, I can't even go outside. It smells so bad. Somebody from the factory, please come. Do you smell this? No. It's so easy to deny. No, it must be you. Well, wait, so-and-so smells it. Yeah, I smell it. No, not happening. You know, and you can have that smell denied. It's like the emperor's new clothes, the emperor's bad odor. And other people say, no, I don't. They can deny it. But people can deny what you see, too. Well, I'm seeing this. No, you don't. Yeah, but I see. No, you don't. Okay. But I'm hearing. No, you don't. Well, what? You're never going to get people to be completely honest. And maybe they don't even hear it or smell it or see it. Maybe it's their senses that are imperfect. Maybe they're told that it doesn't exist, and so they can't see it. Oh, my goodness. Maybe I don't exist. Maybe I was never meant to be. Maybe I'm not a person. I don't know. I don't really know who I am. Like I said, I could just be a character that somebody made up. I mean, that's happened before, right? You see people on shows, you go, is that Andy Kaufman? Is he really a foreign fella like that? Thank you very much. Does he talk like that? Thank you very much. Is that him? Where's he and the foreign man begin? Who's Pee Wee Herman? Where's he and Paul Rubens begin? Is there such a person as Pee Wee, as Paul? When I go see a movie and see a character, who am I seeing? Am I seeing the actor? The words are coming out of their mouth. They're having feelings. Sometimes I see people crying on film, and it's real. They're real tears. And I can tell that person is feeling a real emotion. But the words are coming out of their mouth, that's not, is that Tom Hanks? Or is he pretending? Or is he doing something between pretending and being himself? And when I see him on the street, who am I seeing? Am I seeing the person that his family sees? Or am I seeing a third character that he shows to the public? Exactly. Who are we? I know I'm different with different people. I literally am. And I do that for various reasons. I'd say at the basis of all of them is a sort of fear. I know enough to be afraid. And when I'm not afraid, I've talked myself out of it. Because I know that things need to be done, like I got to get food or something. Like sometimes I'm afraid to go to the store on senior day because I'm like, oh, Lord, it's going to be crowded. And there's always this off chance that they're going to say to me, hey, do you want a senior discount? And I go, I'm not old enough. I mean, when I was young, I always wanted to be older than I was. I wanted people to think that I was older than I was. You know, yes, I am sophisticated. I'm older. But now I'm like, no, I'm younger than I am. Is it just fear of death, maybe? I don't want people to look at me and see my impending death in my eyes. See, look at you. You're getting old. Look at your face. When you look at friends, when you get to a certain age, maybe a 50s or 60s or something, and you've known people like 30, 40 years, and you look at pictures of them, you go, holy Lord, who's the old person? That's my friend from college. But now, what's wrong with their face? It just looks like their parents. And it's a bit disorienting. And you think, well, my face can't look like that. In my head, I am still young.
I'm not, really. I don't know if I am or not. I don't know how old I am internally. It changes all the time. I usually don't feel older than I am anymore. I usually feel either right about my age or sometimes I get confused and think it's 10 years ago. I do lose track of time, that's for sure. Time moves at different speeds, that's for sure. It's relative to your perception. I mean, it's really literally relative in the universe, if you ask me, McCrash Tyson. I always forget his name. Because it's not, there's a musicality to it where it feels like you don't even really have to get the consonants correct. Neil deGrasse? I don't know. Bless his heart. He seems nice. I like people who seem nice. Well, I guess sometimes they are nice. People who don't seem nice, that could go either way. You know? I don't know why somebody would pretend to be mean and awful and then secretly be sweet. You'd think they'd have a little bit of a conscience. But I don't know about that either. I try not to, I'm glad I don't have to literally judge people. You do when you have jury duty. Say, all right, what's this fella's fate? Honestly don't know. And it's always been a fella. I have never been to a jury trial where there's a woman. I know that happens, but it's never happened to me. It's always some dude, you know? One time some fella killed another fella. And I couldn't be on that one. I told him I can't do this. I know it's my civic duty and everything, but I can't. You've already said you're going to try to put him in prison for the rest of his life. I don't know, man. I mean, he killed a dude and everything, but it's just my world is so not black and white that I have a difficult time, you know, navigating it either, because I see nuance, you know, I hear things. I am inclined to forgive, and I know that that's bad or something, or I don't know, or I'm not hard enough, or I'm too soft, or I don't understand, or anything. So, given that I am not like you, you shouldn't have me judge, because you all need to do it amongst yourselves. If there's any kind of trial where there's an elephant involved or a dog, I think I'm more their peers. So get me on the elephant trial. Get me on the dog trial. If an elephant has stomped somebody to death and you want to decide whether to let the elephant live or die, please put me on the jury. I think I understand them and I like them. I like dogs. It's not like I don't like people. It's just I can communicate with them and they've let me know how outside of the norm I am. That's fine. I'm trying to disappear. I'm trying to keep to myself. The only thing I want to do is I want to go on the radio and I want to reach out to others who have the same problem as I do. I want to reach out to others who have the same affliction as I do. I want to reach out to others who have the same fear and the same weaknesses. And I want to welcome them and say, there's a special school, just like Professor X. There's a special place you can come. You are not alone. There are others who have these doubts, who have these fears, who realize the fragility of man, who realize the impermanence of their memories, who realize how transient the whole thing, who realize that they are but a wisp. They are but a puff of smoke. They are but a cloud. They are a ghost walking in this world, which is like a house of mirrors, a fun house. You are not alone. And I know what you're feeling, because I'm feeling it too. And we are so similar. All of us are. But the way we see ourselves, that varies. And so those of you who see yourself like this, come to Hardy White's place. You are always welcome. Don't worry here. I understand. I stuck something in my ear and I can't get it out. That's fine. That people do stuff like that. I understand. I'm going to tell you something embarrassing. Fine. There's nothing that can embarrass me, because people do crazy things and they're not crazy, really. I mean, they're just human. If a human does it, it's human. So no, nothing embarrassed me, no thoughts you have. I find it very difficult. The only thing that I can't get up against is cruelty. And I've seen people tout cruelty as something important to have. But I think if you take joy through the tormenting others unnecessarily, all right, then I can't be down with that. you know, and I understand it. I know why human beings do it, and I might see your necessity for doing it. And I know that anything you need to get through this world, you know, you're going to do. But some of the things I can't help you with, you know, I won't help you with it. And I might even try to stop you. But I'm talking to all those out there who maybe are straggling along in the back because they're limping. You know, come on with me. We're all right. There's a club for y'all. Hardy White's going to talk you through it. It's okay. You might be different out there, but you're not different here. I hate to tell you, if your identity is based on being an oddball, you might not be comfortable in the oddball, the Hall of Oddballs. I know it's hard to say. We need a new title. The Hall of Oddball. The Hall of Oddballs, or Oddball Hall. I'm going to get a new name for it. I swear I will. But right now, that's what we're calling it. So come on over to Oddball Hallball, and feel not different for just a minute at least. Oh, my friend, I want you there. You hold my hand. If I was dying, you hold my hand a little bit. Give me some comfort. It's a little scary. Until I finally close my eyes, it would be scary. I never want things to end. Things always have to end. Someday the show will end. Is this the last show? Nobody knows. You know, I can go into the future and get the last show, and I've done that. Will there be a show next week? I hope so. I think so. Odds are yes. But we never really know when the end of things are. So everything is the end, and nothing is the end, if we don't know. If you don't know for sure, then there's always hope. If you don't know for sure, then it's all happening at once. Oh, it feels good to be positive about something. I sometimes wish I were, but if I were, I wouldn't be living in this world that I'm living in, which is strange and wonderful and baffling to me. It's full of possibilities. I could do a show every week. What type of show is it? You know what? I don't know. People sometimes ask me to describe it. What do you do? I don't know. I don't know until I sit down and do it. I have ideas. They're not great or anything, you know, but they vary all the time. Sometimes I wish I was writing for cartoons in the 70s, so maybe I'll try to do that. Sometimes I wish I was a great artist, making strange sounds, maybe, or creating phantasmagorical fantasy landscapes, you see. And so I might want to try that. You know, the way children try things, the way they play at things. When we give toys to children, we like to give them things where they can pretend to do stuff, fantasize about it. And they sometimes it's mundane things. We give them a stove, play kitchen. I'm going to play kitchen. How mundane is that? Right? They're not playing spaceship necessarily. I'm going to play kitchen. You be the mama and I'll be the mama. And this will be the baby. And we'll play kitchen. You better go get some more corn meal because I need to dust these fried oysters in cornmeal. Fried oysters? What do you mean we're Jewish? Just try them. I went to all this trouble. Like that, I mean, let them play, build blocks. What are you building? A bridge. Is there another bridge? Is mundane, isn't it? You know? And what am I building? I'm building a tower all the way up to heaven, and then I'm going to climb it, and I'm going to confront God, and I'm going to say, what do you think you're doing? And God will say, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Don't you see the sign? Do not come to my dressing room. I'm very sorry, but all right, come in. What are all these flowers? People send me flowers. Oh, God sounds like Lou a little bit. He's got the... He's a heavy smoker or something. Oh, that's blasphemy. Believe me, I don't want to ever impugn your beliefs. I would never make fun of you for believing something. If I do, I just have fun with everything, and I think, and my brain goes all different places. I'm never doing it to hurt anybody, you know? I would never mock you. I don't want to be mocked. But I also don't have any limits on the things I feel. I know that's a sin to not limit your thoughts and to let them go wherever you want them to go. I know that's bad, and I'm a bad person for having an imagination. and I should keep it to myself, probably. But I can't. I'm bursting. My brain is bursting with possibilities, because I know it won't always be. It's like my hands. I've got arthritis. I can feel my hands are able to do less and less. So I want to make everything I can possibly make with them. Do you understand? I do that with my brain. I know it's going to go away. I'm trying to leave it here. Leave it here. I don't get to take it with me. So I put it back into the collective case, this big, the museum, where others can come and play with it. You know, like my toys. When I'm done with my toys, I will leave them in the nursery room playroom. And you can all play with it. So I don't want to take it into my grave like a pharaoh. That's absurd. I'm going to take my play stove, my play kitchen, and I want to put it in my tomb. Yes, pharaoh. And also I want all my pets. All right. What else? All my hats, my pretty hats. But somebody else could wear your pretty hat. No, I won't. Maybe if I can keep living, I'll need it. All right. Well, hasn't happened yet. Mostly you're going to get all scully. Like the flesh is going to come off of your body and everything. And then the hat will not fit as well. It'll be looser. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of the skin is accounting for some of the fit. All right. Well, let me take my chances. All right. I mean, I'm not trying to get your hat or anything. I'm just saying. Oh, and I am just saying. Mostly I'm on the radio here just saying. I hope that's okay. You don't have to listen to me. You don't have to believe anything that I say. And you sure don't have to remember it. You never have to remember it. You might remember it wrong. I've done that. People saying, remember when you said this on the show? I don't know if I said that. I don't know if you're misremembering it or I am. But I've never been able to find myself saying that. Oh, yeah, you said it. All right. And you will think that until you die. That's interesting to me. And think of that multiplied 10,000 times. And that is your view of who you are. And that is your idea of your identity. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad to be with you. I don't know who you are or who I am, but I know I'm glad we're together, and we're something a little more when we're together. Something a little more alive, a little more real, and a little more true. Thank you so much for being with me. I believe I'm Hardy White. I believe I am. And I kind of know you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in blessed, miraculous Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you for joining me this week and every week, and God willing, I will see you again next week. Be well. Take care of yourself. Take care of others.